in order.
And it's about 3 after 9.
No, I understand.
They have some of the issues.
Absolutely.
Okay, Kristen made it in. Let's get a roll call.
Harrison?
Here.
Jay?
Here.
McGuire?
Here.
Michaels? Michaels?
Here.
Mitchell?
Here.
Alex?
Here.
Carter?
Here.
Cohort?
Present. Hey. Okay, we need approval of the agenda.
So moved.
Second.
It's been moved and second. Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
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 Okay, do we have any public participation today?
Nope.
None? Okay. Need approval of the minutes for February the 6th, 2015.
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion?
There was one thing on there. Page 3, Linda, where it says the project will be under construction, but there will be some 1 or 2 day closures. Should be 95% of the project will be under traffic.
What line is that,
Jeff? Line 125.
What should it read?
Under traffic, okay.
Yeah. Where it says construction.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it should be under traffic.
Okay. Any more discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
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 With a correction. Okay. next is the county and township motor vehicle tax claim February 2015.
Move approval.
Excuse me. Second. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Okay, we're going to talk about Wilbert Heights and Susan.
Yeah, she's here. So Susan's here to talk about the same thing that was discussed at ELEC last night, the Wilbur Heights, whatever you want to call it.
Wilbur Heights. Oh, Wilbur.
Expensive Wilbur Heights.
Yeah.
And I'm passing around an email that came from Chris Billings at Burns Clancy to Susan that didn't get into the packet.
Well, we're at a point with Wilbur Heights where we now know cost estimates for making the improvements that are necessary to the subdivision in terms of the road improvement to Wilbur Avenue as well as drainage improvements. Burns Clancy has completed its preliminary engineering report about the drainage, and we also have the estimates made by the County Highway and the City of Champaign Engineers regarding what's needed on Wilbur Avenue. We're looking at a pretty big price tag, $2.2 million over an extended period of time. And we are at a point where we need to work with IDOT to make sure that we maintain the funding that they are going, that they are offering, which is $634,200. It's something that is only available to us if the City of Champaign and Summer Township accept the jurisdictional transfer of Wilbur Avenue from IDOT. Mm-hmm. That amount of funding will not be available any other time for Wilbur Avenue. It's only available for that jurisdictional transfer. In other words, that road will not get improved, reconstructed, unless we take on this funding from them and the responsibility of maintaining that road in the future. However, we also have approximately $200,000 in a funding gap for trying to bring this project together. And that's something that would have to be discussed at the county board level and with other agencies to see if we can try to fill that gap.
that gap, excuse me for interrupting, does that mean we have the money to do that portion at this point?
What we have is the certainty of the IDOT money at $634,000, and we have the uncertainty of a $450,000 CDAP grant that we intend to apply for. The $450,000 CDAP grant would pay for the first phase of drainage that would go along with Wilbur Avenue. It would cost about $405,000. The remaining $45,000 of that CDAP grant can be put toward the roadway. So it'd be a combined grant. That still leaves us with the gap of $200,000 that we would have to find locally. I've been looking for grants and I don't see anything else out there to help it.
So basically what IDOT did is they did an estimate to quote unquote fix the road, and we don't believe it's fixable, but they're not coming off of their stance of this is what we believe it costs to basically patch it and overlay it. We're saying the whole roadway needs to be removed and replaced because it's not fixable. So that's where that gap comes in the cost.
All right, Chris.
Okay, Chris.
I've heard the word we a lot. Who is we?
It depends on who we can bring together, but we have been in talks with IDOT, City of Champaign, Summer Township, County Highway, and then we've been coming back to the county board committees just to give updates. So it's a pretty good group that has come together.
Because it strikes me, I mean, the long-term solution for this neighborhood is to annex into the City of Champaign.
Mm-hmm.
And the City of Champaign doesn't want them because then they have to take on their infrastructure responsibilities, and they don't want it because they've got to pay taxes. But that's the way to resolve these problems. And I'm not sure how much I want to perpetuate the county continuing to get in the urban street business.
Well, the reason the county's in it right now is basically because of the existence of the CDAP grant, and typically the county highway department helps engineering for townships. And
Do we have the ability to put off the decision on taking over the road until after we get the CDAP grant or not? Because otherwise we've got a set $680,000 shortfall, right?
We have to time this carefully with IDOT. If we were to tell them this year that we're good to go, the earliest they could give us funding is next year. So we have to keep them in the loop in terms of how this CDEP goes. We can apply for the CDEP funding, and in theory we can also reject that if it is awarded, if we can't bring everything together. But it's a bit of a chicken and egg.
And you understand what I'm saying, right? I mean, why would we call for this deal from IDOT if we can't come close to affording to do the work ourselves anyway? It's just IDOT trying to dump their responsibilities off on us, right?
In the interest of helping Wilbur Heights, though. I mean, that's the balance.
Well, how are we helping? We're helping, at least now the state's on the hook to come out and patch it, right? If we make the state, if we agree to take it over, we don't have the money to fix it either. How does that help?
Well, the state basically said what you see is what you get, and we're not going to fix it. It's going to remain in its condition with the exception of we're going to fill the holes that a VW bug would fall into. But other than that, they're not interested at all in taking care of this roadway.
We also have just something I received yesterday from Mike Coble, who's the fire chief out at Eastern Prairie, which is at the end of Wilbur Avenue. He just wanted to reiterate that the present condition of Wilbur Road is an embarrassing condition and not safe to drive any vehicle on, let alone emergency traffic. And the repair replacement effort should, in my opinion, be made a top priority. We cannot continue to work in this condition. They're saying that they don't even drive on the road anymore with their trucks because they don't want to lose their trucks. And that's slowing down the response times.
Great to send a copy of that to our state legislators.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with you, Chris. I don't mind helping here and there, but when that's not our responsibility and it's going to cost a lot of money that we probably don't have at this point or have to find a way to come up with it, morally you feel like you should do something, but at the same time, their push should be towards who actually owns that road.
I mean, when does IDOT say, oh, we're tired of maintaining Route 130?
They have, haven't you noticed?
I mean, I'm kind of wondering how to work this from a standpoint of the state. I mean, if the offer was $600 instead of $600,000, would we take it?
It's not.
We basically given up and said, this is now officially a county board responsibility to pay for the reconstruction of this road, and it's nice that we're gonna get some money from the state, but we're not gonna.
I think the reason that the county is involved in it is because we're trying to bring all the parties together. We don't, in my opinion, have any financial responsibility towards fixing this roadway. I don't have any money in my county.
Okay, well, that's why I asked who we was. I mean, if this is a case of us coordinating the city of Champaign and Summer Township.
But.
Taking this over, but obviously we're gonna have to back up Summer Township.
Yeah, I mean, what I've offered is all the engineering services from our department to make this happen. Which is time and, you know, it costs us money, but it's not, it's in our budget to be able to do that. We haven't offered any $200,000 from the highway fund.
Okay, that's what I wasn't clear on. So this $200,000 shortfall, if somebody makes it up, it's gonna be Champaign.
Well.
And or Summer Township.
Summer Township doesn't have the ability to make it up, and Champaign has no.
That's the question, I think.
You know, once it's beyond their city limits, cause part of the roadway is in the Champaign city limits, very.
Point 1 miles.
The rest of it's in Summer Township.
So if they don't have the money, then we take the $600,000, and they what, spend it, put it in the bank, and then the road never gets fixed anyway? I mean, you understand my problem with this. If we're gonna take this over, we gotta have the, they have to have the resources to fix it.
Theoretically, the money gets transferred to the motor fuel tax fund, and Summer Township could go build Airport Road if they wanted to with it. I mean, there's no ties, there's just, all that happens is now that Summer Township owns the road and they have this pot of money to do with it what they want. They don't even have to fix the road, although that would be kind of a nasty deal, but that's the way the system works.
So we're not stepping in the middle of this other than some of your engineer's time?
Not unless you guys feel that it's.
Yeah, I wouldn't worry too much about that.
A county board responsibility to fund it, I mean, that's.
I'm not feeling that.
I can feel that too.
One more comment, just for Susan, and then I'll let everybody else go. You made reference to the sanitary district in the memo, and talking about connecting to resolve drainage issues. Not sure UCSD would be in a position to help with drainage issues anyway. I mean, they do sanitary sewers, they don't have no drainage responsibilities.
Their responsibility would come if the Wilbur Heights were annexed into a municipality, then UCSD would follow that boundary.
Right, but they only provide sewerage services, they don't provide drainage, they don't do anything with regard to storm drains.
Right.
Correct.
So, I'm not sure how it's, their presence is relevant. I mean, they can get rid of some septic systems, but they don't, I don't think they're a party to, one way or the other, I don't think their involvement, one way or the other, would help resolve the drainage issues.
That would be correct.
Okay, thank you. I wonder if we can.
Where's that at, Chris?
It's in page 7 of the memo. Wonder if we could note that, cause the implication is that they have a drainage responsibility and they don't.
We do have other possible funding sources in terms of if someone, such as Summer Township or the county, if it wanted to, could develop a user fee similar to what was done for the Scottsville project, where residents would be, you know, given a fee over a certain number of years to help pay for the project, that's a possibility. Right now, Wilbur Heights is part of the Beaver Lake Drainage District, and by my calculations, they pay about $1,000 into the drainage district per year as a total. If they wanted to separate from that drainage district and somehow put that money in some other way, that could also benefit this project.
Yeah. I've had this on my mind. Well, I was fixing to pursue this, but I never figured out between the county highway department and the
it's a township?
No. The what we talk about now, but you know what I'm trying to say. I done gone brain dead. Wilbur Height.
Mm-hmm.
They work from the what you call that?
Township.
that they work under.
Well, they're in the township, they're not in the city limits.
The unincorporated area?
Township. I never could figure out the responsibility from the township to the county. And how do the township raise the fund?
Well, townships have property taxes and they get a small amount of motor fuel tax funds based on the total mileage of their township road system. But their entire motor fuel tax fund is probably in the neighborhood of $60,000 a year or something like that. You know, that's for all of their roads. They get $1,300-$1,400 a mile.
What do the state determine what the project should be?
No, township determines.
Township have to do that themselves?
Yes.
They're in trouble. Well, how in the world they gonna keep up the township?
Well, that's, you're having the same problem with Hensley Township out on Roland Avenue and all that area out there. It's
falling
apart.
Well, we got one Kerr Avenue over there, you know, the same problem.
Right.
They're asking me a lot of questions that I'm trying to answer, and I get, I might have to go to Springfield, but that Springfield, if you say they know, they don't have anything to do with it, so I'm gonna have to.
Well, I don't know if there's any way for the county to use any, like you said, leverage on state representatives or senators to increase IDOT's amount of money that could be put into this project. I mean, this is coming straight from District 5 and their, you know, their estimators and their people. So that's all the higher it's gone. I don't even believe Springfield has at all been involved in this, you know, discussion whatsoever.
Well, I'd like to ask her to put Kerr Avenue in, well, that neighborhood over there, around Kerr Avenue.
Which neighborhood is that?
Carroll Edition. Back on the study, so we can, and as soon as it get warm, I come to the office and see if we can work something out. Or find out so I can give them some answers.
Yeah,
I might not have any good ones, but I got.
It's the unfortunate part of the unincorporated areas that are immediately adjacent to the city limits. You got people, but you don't have any money to deal with the people.
You know? Okay, John?
What portion of this project? We know the roads is almost non-existent for practical purposes. But originally we had heard about a drainage problem over there. We did not have a good outlet. Even if the road was fixed, if we don't fix the drainage, it isn't going to be a long-term solution. Is that correct?
Well, the $450,000 that Susan's referring to for the CDAP grant, that's for fixing the drainage along Wilbur Avenue. But there's that entire subdivision area.
Well, what about the railroad that wouldn't give us any help or authority to go under them or through them or whatever it was originally when this was talked about months and months ago?
Right. And that's
the current estimate of $405,000 for drainage improvements along Wilbur Avenue. BCA, Burns Clancy, believes that they can work with the railroad to get that culvert cleared up. And then they have set aside a certain amount of money for working with licensing and things like that with the railroad to make that happen. But once again, we have the short-term $200,000 gap, but we also have the rest of the drainage, which is another three phases of drainage improvements for the whole subdivision to work with and find more local funding for. The railroad is going to be difficult. We hope that the money they put into that as an estimate is enough, but there's no guarantee of it.
You know, it doesn't do us any good to sit here and spend a lot of time if we're not going to have an outlet for the water.
We do have an outlet. There's sufficient capacity in that outlet. It's just a matter of getting the water to that outlet.
And we also have an alternate consideration where we might be able to go through the adjacent property to go straight down to a line to get the water out rather than go through the railroad.
Basically put it underground. Along, who owns that right there?
Deuce.
Is that Deuce? Yeah.
Where would it go?
It would still go underneath the railroad eventually, but that.
It goes down to a 48-inch pipe, I think, down south, and then across in something that's already established.
And that's a drainage district pipe, or that's City of Champaign?
I don't know.
It doesn't really matter, but it's there and it's made. it's not some 50-year-old railroad drainage that isn't maintained.
This is part of that system that Burns Clancy identified as something that everybody had forgotten about, that was supposed to drain out the Marketplace Mall area.
Okay.
And then come down and go over east to toward Urbana and the Super Value area. So that's part of that system.
But somebody's confirmed that it actually does exist somewhere.
It exists, but they have not confirmed if it's any good.
Well, Jeff, the $200,000 you said was a local share, but you said the county is just offering engineering studies. So would the engineering studies be part of $200,000?
No. No.
So who,
this is actually construction money.
Who's the local?
Summer Township is the local road authority and the city of Champaign. That's why we're saying there isn't any real good, you know, authority to pay that $200,000. That's where the problem comes in. If we could get IDOT to increase their jurisdictional transfer amount to include enough money to fix the roadway, and Susan could get the CDAP grant to do the drainage, we could take care of Wilbur Avenue. It doesn't solve the problems that are in the north side of that subdivision where all the water just sits around everywhere. But it would improve Wilbur Avenue.
Susan, you had mentioned that would at least take care of phase one. Mm-hmm. So then there's more money is needed for whatever number of phases after that to
just anticipate if we were to
make
have
it functional.
If we were to have successful CDAP grant awards over following phases, mm-hmm. it would be approximately three phases given current construction cost dollars.
Mm-hmm.
And the likelihood of that is
it's
low just getting one, much less four in a row.
Yeah.
Are those grants literally no payback, or are they loans?
It's a grant.
Okay.
Now you can pursue low interest loans. There are from USDA and others. I listed them in the in the memo that range in the 2-3% area over 20 to 40 years, depending on which ones are applicable.
Who would approach the neighborhood to determine whether there's interest would be interested in a special assessment, even though I already know the answer? Would that be the assessor's office? Who for example, who put together the Scottswood deal? Deb, do you know?
All of the governing bodies, so it was school district, county, drainage district. I can't remember the others, but any governing entity which has jurisdiction in that area.
Any can or all have to be involved?
I don't know the answer to that.
Okay.
I mean, we brought together everyone who had jurisdiction, and I believe they all participated, but I don't know if that's mandatory.
I'm not sure what you mean by participate. You mean, does the special assessment's a separate tax line, right?
Right.
So how does the school district participate?
They pay into it from their taxes.
So the Scottswood thing.
We pay every year an assessment for the Scottswood Drainage District. All the residents are being taxed for it who live in that area. But we are contributing members. The school district is a contributing member.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
Yeah.
So
our water goes there.
Part of the cost. we as in the owners of the county of the Brookins property, not we as in the taxing authority. School district, because they own property in the area. I'm sorry, I misunderstood. So basically it's all the landowners, and we just happen to be what we happen to own land that
right.
is affected by it. So in this case, I mean, who would go door to door? Who's responsible? Who actually physically causes their taxes to go up in order to pay for a project like this? Okay, so it would be probably the same thing here. If Beaver Lake, if the residents here were clamoring to pay more taxes to get their drainage problems fixed,
mm-hmm.
they would go to Beaver Lake Drainage District and say, we want a special assessment. It would be handled through the Drainage District.
And I think there are businesses.
That's
the
assessment.
That
there's about 20 businesses.
Yeah, sure.
No,
it's through homeowners and businesses, like the property owners. Has anybody,
mm-hmm.
has this been brought up?
The question was raised during a couple different public meetings way back in fall 2013, and there was a willingness to pay something from those who were attending, but what that amount is another question.
Do we have a feeling that the amount they're willing to contribute is not enough to do a project of this
scope? I would say yes.
even.
There, it's a very low income neighborhood, so.
But even in the context of over 30 or 40 years. Cause when it comes down to, right, I mean, it's a low income neighborhood, but they don't wanna be in the city, cause they don't wanna pay the taxes, but they want their problems fixed, and you don't really get it both ways.
That's right, I'd like to think that the businesses would put a bigger portion into this.
Well, that's fine.
But I don't know how much people would put in, they didn't, at the time of me asking that question, they didn't have any idea of what this was gonna cost.
I guess I'm kinda wondering if we should focus on the highway, you know, like we said, the highway issue, and let the drainage district.
Do their thing.
Cause it seems like they have an avenue to solve this problem, it's just they don't wanna.
Well, if you only take care of Wilbur Avenue reconstruction without doing any drainage, you're gonna lose that road again, because you're not providing the proper drainage under it. So it's really necessary to do the project in conjunction, this phase one part of drainage as well as the roadway.
Okay, so draining the road, part of this is draining the road in addition to draining the.
Absolutely.
And your discussion about ditches, or that's your discussion of ditches versus underground drainage, right?
That's generally in the areas north of Wilbur Avenue though.
I think we might be making an assumption that isn't quite fair either, and that's that it isn't maybe necessarily that those folks don't wanna come into the city. I think it's more likely the city don't want those folks to come in.
They don't agree.
Because the city of Champaign is notorious for doing that with areas that's got problems adjacent to them.
Yeah, not just the city of Champaign either, yeah.
And when they do, they come in and take the better part and leave the bad. They don't touch it, so that's a problem, yeah.
I don't mean to imply that, I think it's probably, I think it's probably a marriage neither of them wants.
I think the net result, if you can, you know, amortize this over the longest period, is that it'd be enhanced property values. And that, you know, in the long term effect would be that the owners are gonna take benefit of this even being low, you know, low income housing, that, I mean, an enhancement's gonna be to much to their benefit.
Susan, what percentage of this is what we call it low cost housing as compared to business in that area?
I wanna say that I know that there's 60 houses and about 20 businesses, and I think acreage wise the majority of it is residential. 25 acres maybe, and then 9 acres of business.
Mm. A lot of the businesses are virtually home businesses, right? I mean, very small.
Well,
and there's a couple, there's Clifford Jacobs, and there's.
I would say about half of them are bigger. I mean,
okay.
Because you have construction companies, trucking companies,
okay.
You have, you know, some bigger businesses.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And doesn't that depend on how big an area you make the drainage area?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, how much
mm-hmm.
of the north side of Wilbur Avenue can you take? The properties, we assess them based on their property value. I don't know how that gets assessed to you, Deb. Is it based on their value of their property? Is it based on a per acre or per square foot, or how do they do that?
The assessment is based on the value of the property.
So the businesses would be assessed higher probably.
Yes.
Bring in more.
Mm-hmm.
And they're the, I mean, if I see trucks in these pictures, they're the ones probably putting the most pressure on the road.
Absolutely.
Even though it's not a very solid road anyway.
I mean, I guess where I'm coming from is I don't think there's probably the will or the ability to raise the full project cost for the special assessment, but there's got to be the ability to raise $200,000 if that's the missing piece that's required to make this happen.
But the $200,000 only is along Wilbur Avenue. I think you'd have a hard time assessing everybody in that neighborhood for one roadway improvement with drainage, because the water would still sit in front of the house up on, you know, Paul
mm-hmm.
and Wallace and along the north-south streets as well.
So what's the total cost of?
Of the drain, the different phases of the
yeah.
drainage improvements and everything,
yeah, yeah.
$2.2 million.
Okay, so about half, well, we get a third of that. So if you take the IDOT money for the road, does that 2.2, just say the number again?
2.2.
Does that include that includes the reconstruction of Wilbur or not?
It's everything.
That's everything, okay. So at 2.2, you can get 600 from the state. You could get 450 from Kevin Bell.
One for CDAP.
Sorry, what is that?
Community
CDAP?
Development Assistance Program.
CDAP,
it's run
okay.
by DCEO.
Okay.
Still need to come up with
$1 million. So yeah, so you're $1 million short. So, you know, is that what you need to be looking at to raise from an assessment?
Yes. Ideally, yes, but I mean, if we could, if we can swing the successive CDAP grants, then it's a lot reduced.
I mean, that's not very much money over, you set me off on this over time thing, right? I mean, $1 million over, you know, 20 years isn't very much money a year.
Right.
It's not.
For this term.
So I'm kind of feeling like that's, would be a reasonable direction for us to be going.
So $1 million.
Is that we in terms of county board, or is that?
No, in terms of an assessment. I mean, go to the drainage district and say, look, this is your problem to solve. We can, now's a good time to do it, because we have other sources of funding to do half of a $2 million project. You need to be looking at ways to raise the other half. And if we can point them to, I mean, we can make the same suggestion to them you made to us, that you could spread this over 30 years.
Do they have the ability to apply for?
The drainage district?
Those low-income loans that you were talking about?
I believe so.
I mean,
it's any taxing authority.
Because I understand the obvious value of getting all this done, right? I mean, do this all at once.
Mm-hmm.
So, but it doesn't seem like there's anybody, it doesn't seem like they have another source of money other than potentially raising it from to meet that shortfall. I mean, yeah, it's great. You know, if they can set this up to show that they could generate the money and then they end up getting grants, that's great. But
mm-hmm.
if they don't, I don't want to be in a position where we encourage them to take the road from IDOT and with the implication that all their problems will be solved, when we know that all their problems are not going to be solved unless they're probably able to contribute resources themselves to solve the problem.
Okay, Lord. Well, I got a quick look. If that's been about, 20 or 30 years, well, they've been paying taxes all that time to the assessor's office. How'd that play into it?
Mm-hmm.
If that's the way to raise the revenue, by only way by taxes, then they should have some money paying taxes for 20-some years.
Well, they've been paying the drainage district. I mean, they've been paying the drainage district, and the drainage district has been doing what they can with the money, but they can't.
No, I'm talking about for the overall keep up on their, like Carroll Edition.
I'm not talking about Carroll Edition. I'm talking about Wilbur Heights.
No, I know, but they both was on the study at the same time, should have been, because I asked for Carroll Edition on that. Because they both, the last time something been did in the Carroll Edition was about 20 years ago. And I think Tracy know that was the drain district, drain thing, wasn't it, Tracy? Is he back there?
No.
Oh, yeah.
Years, that was probably over 30 years ago. I don't know how they was able to rebuild those roads after the Carroll Edition, but there was some, I don't know how that funding came about. That was before my time. That was over 30-some years ago.
Oh, you wasn't here then?
No.
There might have been federal money that they got for that. I don't know.
Yeah, that's when they had the problem with the drain over there. They had, don't you remember that, when they put that drain in there and the water started running back down on the homeowners, and they had to kind of redo something right there where the new apartments go in. I thought you was here, Tracy, but I guess you
had. No.
Okay.
Jim?
But right now what we're doing is, because it says you want Loudoun County staff to apply for funding resources for road drainage improvement. And IDOT might give you $634,000 to do repairs, and then we want to apply for CDAP to do drainage along Wilbur Road. And then the next phase is, takes you into the subdivision, and we have no idea what's going to happen with that. So at this point, we're looking at trying to figure out whether we want to do the first two parts. And that's what you're looking at now and wondering whether we're going to say yes. And like Chris was saying, do we want to start off into that? At what point do you not get IDOT funding if we delay this and all the other discussions going on in the county?
I mean, I guess I don't know why we'd say no, because it's not our money.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just trying to make sure that we're pushing this in a direction that might actually succeed.
I can look at several different things here based on this conversation. I'd like to look back at the Scottswood subdivision and how it was done in terms of putting that special assessment together. It's not something that I've ever worked on, so and I doubt Beaver Lake has either, so we wanna give as much information about it, as much information we can. We can also, I can talk with the state and see, you know, they didn't know when they offered $634,000, that we did a more specific coring analysis and things after that. Maybe we can pressure them to get more money, so I can try to start that conversation. And the CDAP application cycle is going to start, I believe, around May, and will close probably in early July. We wouldn't come back to the policy committee for asking permission to apply for that grant until closer to that time. So hopefully with this newer information, we can have something to move forward with.
Just to share a couple of things that Susan mentioned last night at ELOC, and actually I'm gonna ask Susan to go in depth. One is she explained how some of the IDOT money could then be leveraged as the local on the CDAP, that's one. And two, actually in the memo, it's not 200,000, it's 400,000. You're focusing on just 200,000, it's a larger number than that, so if maybe Susan could give a little bit more detail on that. And it is correct, if you don't do the drainage, don't do the road, because it will just undermine it, and those businesses out there, that's heavy equipment, that's not light trucks. And there's an online comment already,
yes, I saw that.
And that is, not that we can necessarily disproportionately do it, but they were, the comment pointed out that those businesses out there, because of that heavy equipment, really proportionately do much more damage to those roads than any other residents, even though it's two-thirds housing as compared to one-third on the businesses. So those are, if you would detail that a little bit more like you did last night.
The CDAP grant, if it's received, has a 25% local cost share requirement. So if you were to get the maximum $450,000, you'd have to put in $150,000
mm-hmm.
toward that project. And that's where we want to leverage the IDOT money, use that as the local cost share so that it's going to, the grants will cover each other in that first phase. But future CDAP grants, if we go with phases 2, 3, and 4, looking for CDAP grants, we have to come up with 25% each
mm-hmm.
time. And that IDOT funding will no longer be there. It's only good for that first one.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where Patsy comes in talking about the 400,000. When you add up all those different phases for the local cost share, you're gonna come up with about $400,000 versus the 200 that's needed for this first phase.
That's why I think realistically this falls on the drainage district. And I mean, I know they don't have the money, but I think they need to be the conduit that either figures out how to raise the money or is shown how to raise the money or is brought into the partnership to get some money out of the city and out of the city, right? I can't think of anybody else who has any, or there's nobody over there who has any money other than the city of Champaign, right?
Right, and they are very full up on their own infrastructure
problems. Mm-hmm.
Wilbur
yeah.
is not
yeah.
their concern, so
mm-hmm.
their priority.
John?
I've had a loss. I would really like to help those folks up there. And that's been a problem since I was born, I think, in the Stone Ages. But I think we ought to turn to Susan and see what she can come up with the best scenario. And
I would really hate to turn down this IDOT funding. It's never going to become available again. Now, even with a new governor, that offer was made before this new governor. So I don't know what that changes, if anything. It shouldn't change anything, but it might. So I can look into all these different things and see what I come back with and report back.
Well, I really think it's going to get tougher as we go along for all of us, and irregardless of what area we're in, because there just isn't enough money to do everything that everybody wants to do.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, they won't let me pick and choose what needs to be done. So I think we need to... I think personally that we need to move forward with this as we can to the best of our ability to see what we can come up with. And if we can make it work, great. And if we can't, so be it.
So just thinking too, because last Friday the governor signed an executive order to stop non-essential grants. So that's also where, like, if this isn't considered essential, then would that grant money be.
I'm gonna have to check back with IDOT to see where they're, I mean, this is not a grant, this is jurisdictional transfer for which they can allocate money, but I don't know if this has changed things, so.
Besides IDOT at District Five, has there been communication directly with the governor's office and his like deputy chief of staff over IDOT?
Not at this point, no.
Jeff, if we need this county to go put up a sign that says, a big sign that says, this road is maintained by the Illinois Department of Transportation with the IDOT logo on it, so we can take a picture and send it over to Springfield, take it, the county's not interested in doing that.
Putting a sign on state property is probably not in our best interest.
That sounds like a TP and a tree project.
I'll go sneak over there in the middle of the night with a postal dig.
We end up being the 102nd county.
If you looked at the state, you're not gonna get anything from the state, so they broke.
Yep.
Well, Susan, I'd like to thank you for your efforts in this area, for those folks, and hopefully for us, but
they're still
very promising to me.
We'll keep on trying here.
Of course.
All right, thank you.
Thanks, Susan.
Okay. County engineer.
All right, moving on here.
Wait, do we have an action on that, or?
I don't, there wasn't any.
Okay, you don't need a resolution to.
She should come back and do it.
Okay, just trying to get on record, got it. No, I just wanted to make sure we weren't done.
We're helping her somehow.
Wanna make sure we're earning our.
Yeah.
Give her a donut.
The salt bid is the next item, and there's a resolution, for contract award authority. We are, right now, we're out for bids for salt for next year, to be opened next week on March 12th. I've gotten together with multiple entities in the area, both cities, Champaign Township, Mahomet Township, Urbana Township, as well as the Village of Savoy, to come up with a larger quantity of salt, 10,000 tons, that is out for bids currently. As you know, we didn't get bids from the CMS process last year and ended up paying $108 a ton for our salt this winter. So how the process works is basically, I would say any day now, we'll be getting a letter from CMS that says, do you want us to bid your salt for you for next, winter season? And basically by April 1st, we have to sign a letter and say, yes, we'd like X number of tons of salt, and please bid it on our behalf through your CMS process. And what I'm trying to do is get a bid prior to that, before I have to sign that letter, to see where it's gonna be.
Sure.
In discussions with the different entities, you know, the dollar figure of around $80 a ton keeps coming up. If we can get it at below 80, we think we're probably would award the contract. If it comes in above that, probably try our luck with CMS again.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think we're gonna have the huge salt shortage that we did this year, nor the prices that we had this year, but, and this contract also has an ability to be extended for a couple more years, in a negotiation type process. If we want to extend it and the salt company is able to give us a price that we agree with, we can continue to extend this contract for two more salt seasons. So with all this going on and having to sign that letter by April 1st, and I'm gonna have to get buy-in from the other local agencies, I'm asking for the ability basically to do that on behalf of the county, if the salt bid would come in at a reasonable price, which somewhere under the $80 range. So that's where we're at on this process.
You need a motion to.
Yes, we need to approve this resolution.
Second, okay, now it's open for discussion. Diane?
Quick question. I don't think we probably used as much as we did the year before.
Correct.
But you're planning on putting it back up to the top with
yes.
everything and keeping it all, okay, great.
Yes.
Yeah.
How are we doing?
We got just enough salt to be done with winter.
Well, I'm a month done with winter myself, so that's all I want to be done with winter.
Because I thought we were short when we.
We only got 2,000 tons this year. Typically, we would get 3,500, and that's when we usually have some salt in our salt dome. Our salt dome is able to hold 5,000 plus, maybe 5,500 with the new salt conveyor that we bought. So we're looking at trying to fill it up if we can get a decent price.
Is Tracy mad he couldn't use his new can of conveyor? Is that what it is?
I like that.
And if I understand you correctly, what you're saying is if we got a good price, it's almost like a prepay that we'd guarantee that price for the next couple of years. Or would the price adjust with that contract each year?
It can adjust.
Okay.
If
but
we agree and they agree.
Certain percentage or
yeah,
something?
Yeah, so that would have to come back,
okay,
you know, to us if it goes up $2 or what have you. And if it goes up too much, we can just say, no, we don't want to accept that price, and we can go on our own again. So, but we wanted to have that ability in there because typically over the last 10, 15 years, salt really hasn't fluctuated that much. This was just kind of an anomaly year. We've had a lot of interest, which amazes me because we're way out. I mean, we're talking about a bid in March for salt we're going to receive in October. So we're way ahead of the ball game here. And that's the problem with the IDOT process is we have to tell them on April 1st, yeah, we want X number of tons. They don't bid it till August. So we don't really know till about September 1st what the price was. And then that's what left us in scrambling mode this year because now it's going to snow on November 1st. So we got 2 months to figure out how we're going to get salt if that price doesn't come in at what we wanted it to. Now, typically that process has worked. I mean, you're talking about hundreds of thousands of tons of salt that the state's bidding, so they get a better price typically. But last year, the salt suppliers just said, we don't have it. So they you know, pick and choose who they wanted to supply salt to.
And okay. If we go out under the CMS thing, we have to take whatever they come up with. It's
that's
a binding
right.
deal, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Patty?
Well, I have a logistic question to ask you.
Yes, ma'am.
Would
we like to stop salting? Yes. Darn
listen,
it.
I'm using
thought that was the
for
question.
My fireplace on all my ice at home. My logistic question is, you were very judicious in your ordering due to the price. Does that mean you were also judicious as to how the salt was used? Mm-hmm. Okay. So then my question becomes, you want to fill it up, say 5,000. And the price is better, are you going to be equally as judicious or are you going to be a little bit more
judicious in the fact
he's
that
smiling
Mother,
over there.
Mother Nature was nice to us this year.
Well, I just tell Jeff the other day, you know, we had that 8 to 10 inch snow over the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
We used probably 8 tons on 10 inch snow.
Mm-hmm.
The other day we had that less than a quarter inch of freezing rain.
Mm-hmm.
We used over 140 tons.
Yeah.
So it's hard to tell.
I was just, you know, it's like all of us. This is just human nature. When something costs more, we maybe don't squeeze as much paste out of the toothpaste tube.
Believe me, yeah, the guys don't like using it either. So
okay.
I mean, they know they need to use it.
Unfortunately, there's not a real way to skimp on salt unless you're just not going to provide the service.
Yeah.
Sure. But you mixed some with sand last year, didn't you, when you were getting low? I thought
we talked about it, but
it never came to fruition.
The fact that we share that salt dome with the city of Urbana and they don't want sand in their storm sewers.
Oh, that I remember the rest of the conversation.
You'd have to mix it in the truck, basically.
We'd have to mix it somewhere else.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, before we put it
for our own use.
Okay. Thanks.
Yep. So this is a resolution giving me the authority to move ahead with this without coming back to the board.
Just call for the question.
Call for the question. All in favor?
Aye.
He's on his second
anyone
cup of coffee. That's why.
You don't know where I've been before I came here.
Yes,
sir,
you were
we can tell.
I know where you were.
Okay. I was hoping that I would have good information that the state has awarded the contract for the Dewey Fisher Road project. They've told us they're going to award it. Unfortunately, it hasn't happened yet. The state has 45 days to award contracts after the bid, so we're getting within about 9 days here of when they have to award it. They have not told me they're not going to, but it still has not been awarded. So it's making me a little nervous. We've been in daily communications trying to figure out what's going on. We don't have an award yet, but we have no reason to believe it won't be awarded. Just the sooner the better, because we need to start on that project early. After the award happens, that doesn't mean the contractor can go out and start moving dirt and laying asphalt. They have to get contracts together with the state, which all have to be signed, and that takes another month or so to get all those together. So the earlier we can get the award, you know, the earlier we can get started on that project. So that's the only thing I really have to update you on that project. So any questions about that? Olympian Drive, this is the west end by the Clearview subdivision. We've secured all the right-of-way from the landowners. All the paperwork has been sent down to IDOT. It's been cleared for letting and will be let on April 24th on the state letting. So assuming a 45-day approval process on that, you're in June. Hopefully by July we can have a contractor out there. That's only about a 60-day project if they hit it right. So we're anticipating doing that yet this summer. As you know, we don't have any money in the game on that project. We don't even have any promises to do any construction inspection. We're just party to it because of the nature of the whole Olympian Drive project. So, but it's likely that will get done this summer as well. I just had one other thing under other business. I want to pass this around. Mr. J loves my graphs and tables, so never pass up a chance to pass those around so he can take a look at them. And this is just something that recently came out of our pavement management system, which is good news, which I thought would be interesting to share with the Highway Committee. You know, originally when we started the pavement management system, we were anticipating that after about 14 years of a pavement being in service, that it gets to the point where it hits that the lower line, which is the purplish line, is the one where a typical pavement in Champaign County was deteriorating. That was the deterioration curve, where 100 PSI or PCI is a brand new roadway, and anything below 40, it's getting to the point where, you know, it becomes not quite like Wilbur Avenue, but getting close to that. Mm-hmm. So we were looking at about a 14-year life before we hit that 40 PCI. But with our increased maintenance efforts and the different ways that we've been rehabilitating our roadways, you can see that red curve. We're really extending that life. Now we're out to 17 to 18 years before we hit that PCI, and the roads is dead basically at 24 years. And if you look at the round red circles, which indicate our cold in place recycling projects, which aren't, you know, very old yet. The oldest one we got is 7 or 8 years old, which is kind of the way we've shifted towards doing business as far as rehabilitation of our roadways. All those projects are falling above that curve. So if we continue to have the success that we're having with those cold-in-place recycling projects on our asphalt roadways, you know, there's a likelihood that that curve could even move farther to the right and get us a longer life in our pavements. So the good news is we're doing a good job, and I believe the pavement management system has helped us in, you know, figuring out what we need to do and where we need to put our dollars in order to get a longer-lasting pavement life out of our roadways. So, you know, as we move down the road another 5 years, this curve will hopefully adjust. We may be able to even at some point just do a curve which shows just our different types of reconstruction processes that show us really, you know, what we're getting out of each one. But I just thought that was an interesting graph that came out of the latest pavement management system update that we just received that I wanted to share with you.
Jeff, what's each dot?
Each dot represents a one of our roadways.
But I mean, we've got, there's a lot more dots than we have roadways, so it must be mile segments.
It's mile, yeah. They break. It's not exactly mile segments, but it's the segments that they test. So basically,
okay,
if we did a 4 mile section in 1985,
okay,
that becomes one dot on the map.
And they test, the test sections are broken up such that they're essentially consistent.
Yes.
In terms of their construction date.
Right. Okay. Right. Yep. Exactly. So there's not 200 dots on there, I don't believe, but you know, it's broken up into test sections exactly like you said. So any other questions about that information?
Oh, would you want to provide that to the Polk County Board? Is that important?
I think Highway Committee is good to know that information. I don't have anything else, Madam Chair.
I don't have a copy of the semi-annual post.
Diane has
Madam
that.
Chair, I'm about to make a motion.
Okay.
Pursuant to the statutory requirement to conduct a semi-annual review of all closed meeting minutes, I move that the closed meeting minutes of the County Board be maintained as closed to protect the public interest or the privacy of individuals, with the exception of the minutes from November 22, 96, June 14, 2004, June 21, 2004, November 9, 2007, February 8, 2008, March 7, 2008, June 6, 2008, April 17, 2009, October 2, 2012, February 8, 2013, March 8, 2013, October 3rd, 2014, the 9:30 a.m., and then also October 3rd, 2014, the 9:49 a.m., which now may be determined as open session minutes.
Second.
And that's for the Champaign County Highway Committee, right?
Yes, for the Highway Committee. Excuse me. Sorry.
Okay. Any discussion on this? All in favor of them being remain closed, say aye.
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 Anyone opposed? No. Okay. Designated item for consent agenda.
Number eight.
Number eight.
Yep.
Okay, other business. Okay. Need a motion to adjourn.
No move.
Adjourn.
See. Second.
Okay.
Aye.
In favor.
Aye.
Aye.
Get to vote. I responded to it. I did this. That was good time. Yes, and thank you for
See, 10 o'clock perfect.
Yeah, thanks. Sorry to respond to them.
No,
I've known it. I've got to go weigh myself. I'm not sure what it is, but the actual county board had made.